This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Later on, does banking need a public option? But first, taking the bull by the horn, labor takes on Wall Street.
We're heading straight to Wall Street to bring you the sound from one of the series of major actions this spring to demand big banks start putting America's economic recovery ahead of their oversized profits and bonuses.
Thousands converged on Wall Street to demand action on foreclosure prevention, job creation, and an end to predatory lending and consumer practices, and a tax on Wall Street to repair the economy.
Wall Street stopped spending millions fighting reform efforts in Congress because we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. Now to the Wall Street protest.
Now that worker's in the house. Good jobs for all. My name is Michael Mulgrew. I'm the president of the United Federation of the Teachers, and I am proud to stand here with people who are saying all who work need to be respected. We understand that there are issues, and I say issues, going on. But one thing we must always remember, this country was founded on the respect, the work of the people, and we have to bring that back to this country. Voices must be heard, not just here, but all the way to Washington, D.C. Good job for all. Good job for all.
Good job for all. Good job for all.
There we go.
Good job for all.
I think they heard it down on Wall Street, correct?
Yeah.
Did they hear it in D.C.? President of the New York City Central Labor Council, Jack Ahern.
The workers of America cannot just work for the economy. The economy must work for all of us. We need good paying jobs now. Good jobs now. Good jobs now. Good jobs now. Good jobs now. Big time economic help came to Wall Street, and now it's our turn. It's time for big time economic recovery to come to Main Street. We know working men and women are losing their job, they're losing their homes, their benefits, their retirements, they're losing their dignity. Americans are left counting pennies while the bankers are counting billions. And that just ain't right.
That ain't right. That ain't right.
We need our financial institutions to act responsibly. We've had enough. Things have got to change.
Enough is enough.
It's time to put people in front of profits.
No jobs, no future. No jobs, no future. No job, no future.
No job, no future.
The schools of this city are going to be decimated by this economic downturn. And one thing is for sure, the children in these schools had nothing to do with why we're going to get cut. So I'd now like to bring up the student.
My name is Adolfo Abreu. I'm 17 years old. I'm a youth leader at Sisters and Brothers United and a board member at the Northwest Bronx Community and Clergy Coalition. I want Wall Street to listen closely to our voices. I'm studying so that I can have a better future once I grow older. With all these budget cuts, how am I going to succeed in life? If we are the future, then there needs to be a way for me to attain the knowledge that I need to positively impact the nation that I live in. In the current state of our economy, New York City schools are experiencing big budget cuts. Most of the teachers are being laid off, and hundreds of thousands of students are attending schools that are overcrowded with few resources. What kind of message are they giving to me? That we're not important? That is not right.
That's not right.
financial reform so that when we graduate high school, we will be able to afford to go to college. But for those that actually do go to college, they will graduate after 4 years with $20,000 plus in loans that will take them 10 years to pay back. And that is unacceptable. That is why I stand here today with you guys and the other New York City high school students and point you guys here to work with me and help me so that we can not only reclaim America, but to reclaim the sanctity of our education system.
They caused the crisis. We bailed them out, and they're now blocking reform that would protect everyday people and our economy. That ain't right.
Reverend Lisa Robinson, Matthew 24 says, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me." I serve a church in Brooklyn, the Church of the Evangel United Church of Christ, and I have several members in my congregation who have lost their jobs due to this economic crisis. I'm sure you know someone who may be dealing with foreclosure. But if not, look at me. I stand before you with a threat of foreclosure over my head. How long will we stand and continue to allow the bank CEOs to pocket million-dollar bonuses while we struggle without how to pay our mortgages? How long will we allow this spirit of greed to continue to drive us into economic holes? How long? Not long. Let this reverberate from Main Street to Wall Street. This day, like Dr. Martin Luther King said, we will be able to speed up that day when all God's children, blacks and whites, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, Buddhists, Hindus and Muslims, will be able to join hands and say, we are free from economic shackles, free from lining your pockets, free from predatory lending. Enough is enough.
People's Action. I have invested my time and energy to help my community. But now that Wall Street crashed our economy, my children don't have the opportunities that a mother looks forward to. All of the programs for my four-year-old have disappeared, and the after-school programs and school classrooms for my older children are overcrowded. My older sons, Justin and Junior, have gone out looking for employment, but nothing has come through. After giving birth, I left my job in 2007 to take care of my five children. I had hoped to come back to work, but Wall Street greed means there are no jobs for me now. My unemployment ran out in March, and now I'm left with no income for my family. On top of that, my landlord, William Hubbard, is trying to aggressively evict me and my whole family from a development we've been in since 1981. Our economy won't recover until people are back to work and secure our homes and our communities. The banks got bailed out, it seems, while we got sold out. I've done my part to improve the quality of life on the Lower East Side. It's time for Wall Street and the big banks to do their part too. We need Congress to take bold action. We need Congress to have the guts to pass a financial speculation tax. Wall Street must do their part to create jobs and rebuild our homes and our hair neighborhoods. Enough is enough, and we're not going to take it anymore. Enough is enough. Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Fired up.
Yeah.
Fired up.
Yeah.
My name is Ben Jealous. I'm president and CEO of the NAACP. I think as of today, I'm dropping the CEO. It is time for us to get back out of the bleachers and onto the battlefield.
That's right.
It is time for us to start fighting.
That's right.
They think that they can buy our country because they have the most organized money. But I'm here to remind you that we've got the organized people.
That's right.
And money may buy votes, but it can't vote.
That's right.
If they think that all those voters that we registered in 2008, if they think that all those young organizers that we baptized have somehow disappeared, have somehow given up, have forgotten that change is not what happens on election day.
That's right.
But what we make happen every day.
Yeah.
We've got something else coming. 2010 is the year that we make clear that we run this country.
That's right.
That the unions run this country, that the NAACP and National Council of La Raza runs this country. For hundreds of years, we've been waiting for the moment when we would have real democracy, no more minorities, no more absolute domination of this society by one group. And that time is within our grasp.
That's right.
So I say, fired up! Fired up! Fired up! We're gonna win this battle, fix the banks, and make Wall Street pay. Amen.
President of the AFL-CIO, a working man leading working people, Rich Trumka. Show Wall Street that we mean business. Anybody out there fed up with what they're doing to us?
Yeah!
Anybody out there want good jobs now?
Yeah!
Anybody out there think that Wall Street ought to pay for the jobs they destroyed?
Yeah!
Wall Street must create, not destroy.
That's right.
Create real products. Create real services. Create real jobs. Not destroy real lives and real hopes and real dreams.
That's right.
And the bankers and the brokers and big shots on Wall Street must understand that in this country, we're all in this together. We either all rise up or we all fall down together. We come here, brothers and sisters, over 15,000 strong, to bring Main Street to Wall Street.
Yeah!
We speak for millions more who speak truth to financial power.
That's right.
We're here today for the folks who were played for suckers in the casino economy and will be silent no more. Wall Street, fix the mess that you made.
That's right.
We're here today for the family from Los Angeles thrown out of their home, thrown into the streets, their lives destroyed. And we say, Wall Street, fix the mess that you made. We're here for the factory workers in Indiana that are packing their tools away because they closed their plant, they're moving it offshore. And we say, Wall Street, fix the mess that you made. We're here for the electrician and the carpenter on the bench here in New York City, and we say, Wall Street, fix the mess that you made. We're here for the teacher being told that we can't afford to teach our kids anymore, and we say, Wall Street, fix the mess that you made. We're here for the young men and the young women who can't afford to graduate from college right now. And we say, Wall Street, fix the mess that you made. And we're here for the retiree whose pension promise was betrayed and whose life was shattered. And we say, Wall Street, fix the mess that you made. America is more than making easy money. We're all paying the price for those who knew no limits to their greed. 8.5 million jobs destroyed, and 2.5 million more that weren't created. That's the price of greed. And the real cost of bankers' bonuses and private jets and cute tricks like the one that got Goldman Sachs into trouble. When greed runs amok on Wall Street, it means lost jobs and shattered stores. We must have a different kind of economy where good jobs, not bad debts, drive our growth. An economy where Wall Street is the servant, not the master. An economy where banks help create jobs, not destroy them. We have three simple things to say to big banks. First, stop fighting Wall Street reform.
That's right.
Stop acting like what happened to the economy was some kind of an accident. Take some responsibility for what you did. Call off the lobbyist in D.C. Own up to what you did. Second, stop speculating and start lending. We bailed you out. It's far past time that you started lending to Main Street. And third, take responsibility for the cleanup of the mess you made. Pay your fair share of the cost of creating 11 million jobs so that every American can be at work in a good job represented by a union. You want good jobs?
Yeah.
Do you want good jobs?
Yeah.
The labor movement has a plan for creating millions and millions of good jobs. We need to extend unemployment benefits. We need to invest in our crumbling infrastructure and green technologies. We need to give aid to state and local governments to maintain vital services. But how are we going to pay for them? Well, we have another message for Wall Street. When you engage in rampant and risky financial speculation, you're going to pay your fair share in taxes to create jobs.
That's right.
And when CEOs pay themselves tens of millions of dollars for successfully cashing government checks while we close schools and firehouses, it's time for special taxes for bank bonuses.
Yeah.
And that means no more loopholes that let Wall Street billionaires and hedge funds and leveraged buyout funds pay lower tax rates than working Americans. They ought to pay the same rate that we pay and create jobs, right?
Yeah.
We must tax speculation and support investment. A Wall Street speculation tax that would raise hundreds of billions of dollars. We need to create the 11 million jobs that Wall Street destroyed to build a new economy on the energy technologies of the future. Now, by this point, you might be able to tell that I'm a little fired up about all of this, that I'm a little bit angry about what's going on.
Yeah.
It's no secret that Americans are angry, really angry. We're angry at the big banks and Wall Street and their lobbyists in D.C. who trashed our economy for 8 years. We the people will win over the forces of privilege and greed.
That's right.
So we're here today, and we're not going to stop until we create 11 million jobs that we need and until we rebuild the middle class. And I'm convinced that together, we'll get the job done by fighting back, by joining together, by working together, by building together, by voting together, and by winning together. Are you ready to march?
Yeah.
Are you ready to march? Let's let Wall Street hear us all the way down to the pool. Are you ready to march?
Yet those minds are made. There's a guard on every door, and the vaults are filled with silver that the workers sweat and swore. Let us rise and take our own, take what's ours. Time we got together and united, make a stand and smash those banks of marble, remove the guards
Yes, the banks are made of marble, as sung by Ray Collins. And now, we've talked about a public option in health care, but what about for the banks? Thanks to Michael Moore, we have this case study of the Socialist Bank of North Dakota with political scientist Dr. Roseanne Everson Junker.
The Bank of North Dakota is different from private bank in a very simple way. A private bank takes your deposits and it pays you an interest on your deposit, and then it takes your money and lends your money to someone else and charges someone else more money than it's paying you, and it makes a difference in the spread. A state-owned bank has a different mission. Its mission is not to make a profit. Its mission is to serve the people of the state. It's able to take a really long-term view about what's the right thing to do for the people of the state at this moment in time. Right now, it's a $4 billion bank. It's capitalized with the state's earnings. It is paying interest on that money to the state treasurer, and it's using that money to create different lending opportunities for North Dakota family farms, for farmers who want to diversify, for students who want to go to college. When the Bank of North Dakota was being set up, it had been a state for 30 years. 95% of the people were engaged in farming. It was being, in the grossest terms, ripped off by the interests out of Minneapolis and St. Paul and Wall Street interests. And it was practically impossible to make a living at anything. If you would go to borrow $100 from the bank, you would come back with $68 because they charge you 12% interest and a $20 origination fee. And the farmers were really mad. The opponents of a state-owned bank did everything they could possibly do to stop it from being established. They took two challenges to the United States Supreme Court, and the United States Supreme Court said, if the citizens of the state want to do this, they should be able to do it. And then there's a drought in the 1920s. And these farmers just had to see that dream turn sour when they couldn't pay not only the principal, but the interest on the loan that they had with the bank. And people would write notes to the bank on a torn sheet of paper. I would send it to you, but I don't have any. We don't have a crop. I haven't had a crop this year. I didn't have a crop last year. They didn't have money to even feed themselves, much less to pay a bank loan. The bank tried to collect the money. The Bank of North Dakota representative would just say, I can't take money from these people. They don't have any. And it became very clear in the early 30s, and this is when Bill Langer was governor, and Bill Langer created a moratorium on debt. So the bank stopped doing any kind of foreclosure and then allowed them to stay on the farms. When the economy turned around in the early 1940s, the bank sold those farms back to the original farmer at the price the bank had in them. The Bank of North Dakota is doing amazingly well, given the worldwide economic crisis that we're in. It's as strong as it's ever been. The fact that it isn't suffering any of the fallout from the financial crisis that the other banks are. I think attests to really the strength of the bank and actually the bank's mission. And they didn't invest in risky derivatives. They didn't buy any subprime home loans. It didn't fit the way that they did business. During the last 90 years, the bank has returned $500 million to the state's general fund. What that means is the state has been able to develop programs, $500 million worth of programs, without taxing the people of the state to do those programs. It really, in my mind, it doesn't matter if it's socialism or capitalism. You know, what matters is what works best for the people, what provides the most services at the least cost.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.